This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
One floated for Smith, and it's picked! Brisker, the rookie!
Not a good decision at all by Mac Jones.
Zappi passes in the air and intercepted by Smith. Tipped at the line, and Roquan Smith with another takeaway for the Chicago D.
Well, that didn't go the way we thought it might go. And it was Zappi hour for a minute there in New England, but
still Zappi hour.
You think it is? We shall see. Hello, everybody. Live from ESPN Studios in the Seaport District in New York City, it's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. How you doing, Bart Scott?
I'm Bart Scott. He's Alan Hahn.
Well done.
I'm the former 11-year pro. He's the greatest ghostwriter in the history of books.
I can make you sound like a superhero. There's no doubt about that.
Yo, that was crazy last night. I mean, Mac Jones looked like hot trash.
He felt like it.
Zappi comes in. All of a sudden, they dial up a wide open pass. I mean,
what is going on all of a sudden?
It is like Linsanity.
No, but not even. I mean, the Zappi part of it. Yes, yeah, I'm with you on that. But honestly, like, what is going on in New England?
What is
happening there? Because from Cam Newton, you know, Mac Jones. And how Mac Jones last year was you know, I mean, they loved him last year.
Okay.
And then we start hearing about, like, a little bit of a disconnect. Josh McDaniels not there anymore. Maybe they're moving. Maybe they don't like what they see in Mac Jones a year later. And then Bailey Zappi, nobody. Like, I'm telling you right now, all the diehard Patriots fans, to a man, how many of them knew who the hell Bailey Zappi was 3 weeks ago? And now they're chanting his name at Gillette Stadium.
He gave them what they wanted that second quarter. Mm-hmm. You know how bad you got to be playing to get benched in the first quarter, mac and cheese? He looked slow. He looked lethargic.
Coming off the injury, I mean, to be fair.
But that's how he looked slow and lethargic with his decision-making, with the ball, and he was throwing up some hand grenades, right? The one he threw, first of all, like he deserved to get benched for kicking Brister in his winky.
Like what?
Yeah.
So I can't hit you high as you slide, but you can kick me right in the
winky.
Jimmy?
Yeah, exactly. So listen, but tip your cap to Justin Fields,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Before we get into New England, let's do that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Tip your cap to him. You talk about being on the move, fighting, got sandwiched a couple times, kept fighting, making plays. He showed more touch, showed more anticipation, seemed like it's slowing down for him. Remember, this is a young man that in 2 years have been on a bad organization that can't protect him. But also, this is his second offense in 2 years, second coaching staff, second offensive coordinator, trying to learn a new system. So in 3 years, he's been in three different systems, and he's trying to pick it all up while his team is bad and can't protect him. But yesterday did a good job of getting him on the move. He did a great job in exhibiting touch and understanding where to go with the football. And listen, it wasn't close. I know when Zappi came in, some weird stuff happened, mm-hmm. and maybe it's a couple turnovers. But, man, that was a decisive ass-kicking. And let's not get it twisted. Ass-kicking. We thought maybe New England was back, but we forgot that they paid the Detroit Lions.
They shut them down in the second half. The offense did nothing, so the Bears' defense also
shut
got it
shut that running down.
But
down.
Justin Fields throws for 179, runs for 82. Touchdown thrown, touchdown also run for as well. And, you know, are you finding out
mobile
what he can be now at this level, right? Like, because there was a lot of questions about what is he and how do you use him and does he have enough weapons around him? Does he have enough protection? All that stuff. But the main thing is what you're finding is okay. There's an identity
here
that you're starting to figure out with him as your quarterback.
It only gets better from here, right? Because you're only going to get more salary cap space. You're only going to get more draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
And you're only going to be able to improve the team in the offseason. And listen, they're already to three. It's not like that's their first win.
Yep.
They're already to three. If they pull out maybe four or five.
I wouldn't go that way. I mean.
You don't think they can win two more games?
I mean.
They just beat the Patriots.
Two more.
Right.
I would think so.
So they already got the three. They get the four or five or six or seven. That is a win.
Mm.
In a rebuild year, if you can get six wins.
You know what I want to say? I want to see them beat the Packers just to really.
They'll play the Pistons. Packers. They'll play the Lions, too.
Well, they'll play the Lions. You're right. But so, I'm saying, like, the Packers thing would really, like, that whole division would just go upside down.
You don't own us anymore.
But anyways, on the other side of things, though, is the big story, and it continues this morning, and that is what is going on with the Patriots quarterback situation. As I mentioned now, you're talking about Cam Newton to Brian Hoyer to Mac Jones. To Bailey Zappe, to back to Mac Jones, and then back to Bailey Zappe. So Mac Jones plays a couple. What did he play? The first two?
Yeah.
And was just not effective whatsoever. The crowd is chanting for Zappe. They bring him in, and he delivers with a couple of touchdown drives. They take a 14-10 lead. Short-lived, but they took it. And the place is going crazy. So,
two plays,
of course,
two scores.
Yeah. And so, of course, you know, right after the game, Bill Belichick is asked about the quarterback situation. I want to make sure I got these numbers right. Yes. Okay, this is the one now. This is right after the game. You played both quarterbacks, and what did you see?
So when Mac came out of the game, Bill, was that a medical decision, the timing of the pulling him? So was that related to the interception that was his last play tonight?
No, we had planned to play. I told the quarterbacks that we were gonna play both of them. That's what we did.
And so was the plan for three series? It just seems... when his last play is an interception, it looks like a benching for performance.
That's not what it was, but you know, you can write whatever you want to write. That's not what it was.
Was Mac Jones aware that he would only play part of the game?
Yes.
So Bill Belichick saying that both quarterbacks knew.
Liar pants on fire.
But there's reports that other players on that offense, they didn't know.
So he only going to play three series. He only going to play the first quarter. It's four quarters. You're rotating your quarterbacks, and one's going to play only one quarter, and then he's going to be benched after a mistake. Bill, do you think we were born a damn night? Then what did you tell him then? What did you?
Well, it's between me and him.
Well, he's never going to share any of that stuff. But it's these are the moments where you would think
I love it.
It's better to just be honest than to try to control a narrative that is out of your control at this point. So okay, so this morning, Belichick now meets with the media, and he's asked more about this, including the question again about Mac Jones and his ankle, and, you know, is he healthy? And so here's the question and his response.
As you move forward, if he's healthy, Bill, is it fair to say if he's healthy, he's the starter?
That's a hypothetical question, so let's see, you know, where that is and what that is.
Well, let's follow up. Is he healthy? See, these reporters are so scared. Well, Bill, is he healthy? Because when he said he wasn't benched because it was medical, they knew it was going to be a rotation.
Well, if he was,
that suggests that he's healthy.
If he wasn't taken out of the game due to his health, then he's healthy.
Right.
That question's already been answered.
Right.
You told me he wasn't removed because of a health issue, so he's healthy.
So
healthy enough to play. You just didn't want to play him anymore.
So the next proper question is, will you have a rotation against the Jets? That's the next
logical that would
question.
Definitely be the next question.
Because if you plan to do it this way, are you going to plan to do it like that again? Because it worked so great.
Although I don't, you know, again, he didn't reveal this. There were whispers about both quarterbacks playing in this game going into the game. There were some whispers from some people up there that could happen once Mac Jones was deemed healthy enough to return to the lineup. And I could also see a scenario where Bill might have thought, let me let Mac get some game experience, but then we've got to go to a guy that's been doing it and ease him back into. Like, he might have had some kind of a plan that nobody wants to believe.
Alan, it came off of a turnover. That's a bench.
Oh, I know.
Because if Mac Jones would have went down and scored a touchdown, he wouldn't be out the game.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Right. So he probably felt like, you know what? I don't like the way he looks.
I love that now the great Bill Belichick has to deal with average quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what happens? He gets exposed like a nerve.
Well, the defense, which is his forte,
he gets exposed.
Shredded.
His entire team and his inability to draft well, to get great free agents. Like, how's Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry spending all that money, giving them all that money? How's that looking?
Mm. Well, Mac Jones last year, by the end of the season, looked like out of the group of quarterbacks taken in his quarterback class, he looked like, wow, that was a steal. What they did there, they got him at 15, and they turned him into a quarterback that could lead them to a playoff spot. But it's a lot different this year with Mac Jones. Here's Keyshawn Johnson talking about Mac Jones, and it just doesn't look right.
Didn't even look right, though. Not
the injury, him. I don't like the way he looks when he drops back in the pocket. It looks rough. It doesn't look smooth to me. When he's trying, it's almost like, I don't want to say he's scared, but he's unsure. Mm-hmm. So when he's dropping back, it's not one, two, three, bam, let it go. It's always like, oh my God, they're coming to get me. I got to get out of here. Instead of just being calm, he doesn't give me a sense of calm. Now, Coach Belichick and Matt Patricia and Joe Judge and company, who's over there running the offense, they probably see it differently. I don't see it that way. I look at it, I'm like, he just doesn't make me feel comfortable in the pocket. Everything looks hard when it should be much easier.
Mm. Keyshawn Johnson on KJM in the mornings here on ESPN Radio.
Trent Brown looked like, man, like he didn't want to be there. I mean, you ever see a lineman get more penalties? Like tripping, holding, offside. Like, yo, bro, you going to just get all of them in one quarter?
If I get enough, do I get thrown out?
Exactly. Yo, and remember, they saved him back. Though?
But what do you think about Keith said? Could it be the fact that there's no Josh McDaniels? Now you've got two guys that really aren't offensive coordinators running the offense?
Nope, because they coordinated the hell out of it for Bailey Zappi.
Okay, then what? What's the issue?
For me, this is what happens when defensive coordinators sit around and they have tape. Remember what happened when Buffalo played them? The second time?
That's right, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he couldn't just hand the ball off 1,000 times?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When this league catches up with you and gets
filmed. That was also a bad weather game, too,
right,
wasn't it?
But remember, he took it all the way to the postseason. When this league gets film on you, you better have a counterpunch. You better have it, because they're going to break down everything that you are. And what we're seeing from him is that he's just an average guy. Now, you put him on a roster like Jalen Hurts, he can be a superstar. Put him on a roster, like Joe Burrow, could be a superstar. You put him on a roster that's just good. He can't force multiply anybody because he can't. He's not athletic. He doesn't have a strong arm.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to have anticipation and football acumen.
Right.
But when they break you down and see what you can't do, you're going to have to do that more than you have to do the other stuff. So I said this last year, everybody called me a hater. Now, this team is relatively the exact same team, just no Josh McDaniel. And the league has a scouting report on him now. And we've seen him play bad football later in the season. And now he's exposed. And Bill Belichick and his roster is exposed. And if they lose to the Jets, oh, my good. It's going to be funny.
Who?
Because finally, we get to see the great Bill Belichick without the greatest player of all times. He went to Kobe after that. It's like watching Phil Jackson. Like it's like watching, to me, Popovich. I told you, he was due to go through the same stuff that Popovich went through.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're not winning, all those antics that traditionally goes down and
New England
gets real old real fast.
Yeah.
Watch the baby mutiny come where people just start tripping.
Because
you're going to be working me like this. And that only worked when you have Tom Brady accepting and allowing you to talk and act like that.
And interesting enough, Brady's going through his own issues.
Well, but
he
won a championship and went to the playoffs twice. So
he did.
Point proven.
But it's just interesting how both of them have been around for so long that things that they have always done that we accept and deal with, now suddenly don't accept them as much when the success is not there. The Patriots are now 3-4.
What place are they in
that puts
division?
Them in dead last in the AFC
Who
East.
Said they were dead last, going to finish dead last?
Yeah, you did.
Didn't they laugh at me?
Mm.
They're all going to laugh at you.
Well, remember, this division has not played each other that much yet. Only the Dolphins have played 3 divisional games. Everybody else has only played one, so there's a lot still to decide. And you're right. The Jets play the Patriots twice in their next 3 games, which includes a bye in between there.
Those could be 2 dubs.
Could be real interesting what happens.
2
there.
Dubs?
The Jets made some news as well. Yes, the Jets made news as well yesterday.
The Jets.
And we'll get to that certainly. We have your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, because what we have to get to, as you mentioned, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, the Jets, Zach Wilson, the evolution of the 2021 quarterback class continues. It evolves as
reshuffling,
absolutely. We might have to repower rank the quarterbacks taken in that draft. We'll discuss that and more with you. It is Barton Hahn. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, let's get it going today on a Tuesday. Bart's got his eggs. I got mine. Went and got omelets today.
Yo, I'm just trying to set myself up to gorge myself for Thanksgiving.
See, I'm with you. I'm feeling the same thing.
I'm gonna take it off. That's feta cheese. Nothing healthy about nothing but healthy stuff.
And simulcast on the ESPN app, app, and they love to catch Bart and all his food. But that's clean living right there.
And I'm not eating the potatoes, by the way. Straight protein, baby. No, there's not, no
that's
starch
sad.
For me.
No starch.
No starch for
I'll
me,
take
baby.
The potatoes, huh?
You know how could saying? You not eat the potatoes?
You see, my clothes is getting baggy. I'm telling you, I'm gonna be like Carl Thomas and with the silk white thing, see through, just swinging. You know what I'm saying? With the wind blowing, straight photo shoot. I'm emotional.
I forgot to mention, we need you to be part. We want you to be part of Bart and Hunt Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. You can call us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Be honest, though. Do you need me to give you the number at this point? Like, I mean, do we not know the number? But I'll give it to you anyway. ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice cold Dr. Pepper. It's the one fans deserve. We had a little college football fracas over the weekend. Mm-hmm. We have to get to some rumble in the tunnel kind of stuff. So we got a lot to get to today, but we do have your calls. Let's get to a couple right here, Bart. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Jeremy's in California. Want to talk about the Bears.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Oh, I can't wait. I couldn't wait till the game today because all last week, everybody was talking about, I mean, hey, the Bears, we got a lot of holes, but no one's giving us any kind of chance. I know you guys had Judon on last week talking about his video games and talking about how it was going to be an easy game this week. But, man, we played really good. I know I talked to Bart maybe a week and a half ago and asked him if we were going to throw away the Pokai playbook, and he said there was a chance. But offense played great. Raekwon was out there. Roquan Smith was out there looking like
him. You better give him his money. Give him his money, man.
Pay him for sure. Yeah. Pay him for sure.
But
you can flex today, Jeremy. You can flex today. The Bears gave Belichick his second worst loss.
Man, that was an ass kicking. On
as a touchdown
TV.
Favorite. I mean, like 8.5-point underdogs the Bears were walking into Gillette, which used to be a house
of horrors. They were so much physical than them, man. Like you got Montgomery.
When a team is like when you're home and you're getting out physical, is that a I almost feel like this. What is happening with that group?
No, I just feel like they felt that them dudes. Yo, one time the fullback came in 35, and I don't know their depth chart like that. He was a fullback, man. When I say he set the dude down, he said, like, the play was over with. It's like one of those things when somebody throw you on your back so bad and ain't nothing you can do but kind of kick your, like, scissor kick him up and try to hunch up. Right. Get off me! Let me up! Like, you know what I'm saying? That's uncalled. That was real uncalled for. Yeah. Terry Blast Game. That man, that sounded like a little gangster thing. Terry Blast Game. He looked, and the crazy thing is, he only 6 feet, 233. That would be a tailback when I was playing. This dude came through, man. He banged his head on the back. And listen, The running back was already in the end zone. You know how you see somebody, like you watch it. See, I watch the game different, so I'm just watching the game. Right. And I just see somebody flash by, like, boom, like, damn. And then the tone was set by, took out Andrews with the peel back. You know what I'm saying? I know that, listen, that's like when you turn offense to defense, when I was playing, keep your head on the swivel.
You know what you should do? You know how Jeff Saturday, who we'll have on at the bottom of the hour, does the pancakes?
That's going to be a pancake.
And Marcus Spears, right, does You Need New Security.
Yeah.
What if you did like a segment, like Micro Mini Pimps, and you just have all these dudes that just,
Sada!
Like out of nowhere, just
Cold
trucks
red,
people.
Pimp in distress! Cold Red!
That'd be great. Right, you do the voice, you get the hat, and
Pippin! You was going to take it, wasn't you? I'm a boy, Damon.
Let's go to David in Virginia. Go ahead, David.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Love the show. Hey. I wanted to say this. Justin Fields, he went to a dumpster fire when he got there.
That's true.
And he got drafted. Number two was always number two behind
Trey Lance.
Right? Lawrence. Ever since high school. And I'm kind of happy what's his name, Belichick got his tail beat by them, and the way they drafted, what's his name, Matt Jones.
Yeah.
You know, because Matt Jones shouldn't have, if Justin Fields would have went to San Francisco or the Jets, think about that.
Yeah.
He was durable, everything. And then everybody let him
fall. It was the narrative. It was the false narrative that they tried to have during the process, where they were trying to all of a sudden try and break him down like he wasn't one of the best collegiate players ever.
Yeah.
They started giving him that he don't love football stuff. This dude, during COVID, was the only one petitioning the NCAA to play football games. Now, he was going to go top 10 regardless because people already knew who he was.
Right.
So don't tell me a kid don't like football. Yeah, don't tell me this kid don't like football.
Yeah.
See, but those are the false narratives that they put out there during the process, and it's unfair. Mm. And, you know, he fell victim to it.
No, he didn't land in a good place, but it doesn't mean that there isn't time to make it right there in Chicago. Johnny in Kentucky on the quarterback class. Go ahead, Johnny.
Hey guys, I just go real quick. Love the show. Listen to it every day. Y'all got the hands down best show on ESPN. That soundbite with who? The Jets is my favorite soundbite. I laugh
who?
Every time y'all play
the Jets.
It. The Jets. but I wanted to talk about that quarterback draft class with Mac Jones and all them in it.
Yeah.
I have never really been high on Mac Jones, and the reason being is I've watched college football for 20 years. Nick Saban does great things at Alabama, but if you look at all the players he's ever put out to the NFL, Jalen Hurts is still undetermined.
He's so Oklahoma quarterback, too. We ain't going to give him to Nick Saban. He went and got refined under Lincoln Riley.
But I get
baby.
What Johnny, yeah, I get Johnny's saying, and we got to run here, but I appreciate the call and also the flowers. Tua, we don't know. We see a little bit, but we're not sure. Hurts, you know, we're learning.
Hurts is Lincoln Riley, though.
But you're right. Once he went there, they did change him up.
Yeah.
And Mac, all the talk last year about these three, and this year,
I told people that Mac Jones looked like a little slightly better version than Greg McElroy, and people thought I was crazy.
Mm.
It's easy to throw people wide ass open when you got Jameson Williams, you got Devontae Smith.
Yeah,
damn it, they always open.
Separation is a little bit different at the college level. All right, Spartan Homie, got your calls. We'll continue to keep them rolling because we love to talk to you. We'll do that. But we also love to talk to Jeff Saturday. And for the very first time, we are going to have a guest. Not in the honeycomb.
I got to tidy up.
In studio. We try it next. It is Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
Yeah, let's check this out. For the first time ever, although we've had people bum rush the show and just come in without a spot.
I get out.
Bart and Han.
Okay, now we good.
Oh, yeah.
Alan Han, Bart Scott, and
I just got to take this down.
In studio with us.
Yeah.
First
Slam
time.
Jam.
Where's my camera?
There you are.
Slam Jam.
Look at that.
I don't know who the eyes, man. You know what I'm saying? Look, he's making love to himself. You got the two huskies here.
Lighting,
you know what I'm
the lighting is perfect, making them sparkle.
You got the slate gray and you got the blue husky.
I did like when Alan saw himself, he kind of like squared.
Yeah, yeah.
You saw him like he saw it get caught.
I mean, you know, you got to make sure the light hits just right. Listen, you don't have a lot to work with. You got to go with what you got. No doubt about that. Jeff Saturday joining us here in the studio. So, because it's fresh from last night, there's so much to get to with you, but because it's fresh from last night, what's going on in New England? The quarterback, now all of a sudden a carousel happening here between a guy who last year we thought they found their next quarterback, and now it's not even a year later, and Bill Belichick's not giving us straight answers about whether or not they're going to stay with Mac Jones or go with Bailey Zappe, the sudden folk hero up in New England.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of this. Like, listen, I mean, if it's because of the injury, then keep Mac out until he can go 100% and then let him go play.
Right.
If it's, hey, I don't really know if he can give us all these guys, whatever that means. Like, Bart and I both know, ain't nobody healthy, bro. You go out there and you battle. Yeah. If you can play, you're going to play the whole thing. You play four quarters. That's what we do. So obviously they pulled him because of the interception. I don't like that. I mean, here's a guy who took them to the playoffs last year. Yeah. You bring in a new, quote, offensive coordinator or three and expect him to figure this offense out. It started slow. It was ugly. And Zappe comes in, plays the Lions, who everybody scored 27 points or more on, basically, and the Browns. And they ran the ball like a freaking freight train against the Browns. So he played well. I'm not taking anything away from, but that's what you want from your backup quarterback, is to play that style, give you two or three games, win those games. But Mac Jones is your guy. And you know, I've heard all the people always throwing two touchdowns, five interceptions, or whatever his numbers are right now. You didn't know who your freaking coordinator was going into week one.
That's
like,
right.
Understand from a quarterback's perspective how vital that relationship is and how important it is to understand what we're trying to accomplish and be crystal clear in it. If you play for New England, you cannot turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. Everybody understands that, so I understand that's Bill's way. You act up, I'm going to pull you. But man, like everybody's, you know, calling for Zappe to be the guy. I'm not on that train. Like I'm not there.
I'm not going to say let's call this a Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe situation,
right?
But can we say maybe this could potentially be a RG3 and Kirk Cousins situation because. Your words can say one thing, but man, the body language can say something totally different. Body language can't lie.
You're right.
And when that team, when Zappe came in, their whole body language, and they came to life.
Right.
Like it was a belief.
The whole building came to life. Yeah. They were chanting his name.
But it was like it was a belief.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at some point, you're going to either have to get Zappe out of the building or it's going to be an inswell of support from him. And it could separate the locker room if Mac Jones continues to struggle.
I'm going
to
push back on this. Here's what I'm going to push back. All right, he came in. It's a folk here, like you said. Zappe,
yep.
Zappe. Everybody's hearing it. Everybody's excited. He throws an average ball that gets caught and rolled in the end zone. He throws a pitch and pray that Parker comes down with. Fans are going crazy. And listen, every quarterback does that. I'm not taking anything away, right? You got to throw it up to see who's going to catch it. You're telling me that second half look like a folk hero? Because I'm going to tell you, the second half, three turnovers, when the pressure was really on, you had the lead. Now you don't have the lead. Go make something happen. And you're going against Justin Fields, who everybody's been screaming can't get it done. All of a sudden, he's looking like a freaking all-star. And now you can't match play for play? I question that. Look, I'm all about front running, and I think it's everybody's like hot hand, this and that.
Yep.
At the end of the day, bro, you got to give me some structure as an offense. Who is my go-to guy, and let's work Mac Jones until he has proven he cannot get the job done. Don't go on, quote, electricity, feel. All those things are great, but they're not tangible until you see a dude turn it over three times in the second half.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll see what happens there in New England. As this morning, Bill Belichick still not answering questions.
Of course not.
Big surprise that we're not getting that.
Life after a goat.
But while we have, speaking of goats, Jeff Saturday here in the studio with us, it's worth us now to go to some news from yesterday involving your former team, the Indianapolis Colts, and the decision to move away from Matt Ryan. From anything that you know and what you've seen, is this Matt Ryan doesn't have it anymore, the shoulder issue, or are the Colts just still trying to figure out who the hell's their quarterback?
Yeah, let's put this twofold. One is the Colts failed Matt Ryan as well. He has failed as their quarterback, but they failed him too. And Frank Reich addressed that. You know, hey, we're bringing you in. You're going to be a manager of the game. We got a great run game. We can manage it. We'll have great protection. We have this offensive line that's going to be dominating in both phases of the game. Our defense is going to be good. Just manage us into wins.
Mm-hmm.
That has not played out that way. He has been under duress, leads the league in sacks, 184 yards. So the negative plays that Matt Ryan has made on top of the sacks, they can't overcome them. The margin for error for the Colts is too slim. And so when you see him turning it over, and I do put a lot of that on him, like especially Tennessee, man, that's not even a hot route. Like the first interception for a touchdown, the receiver's not even looking at that guy. You either got to change protection or you got to dirt that ball. He does. And then the second one that he throws over the middle, everybody in Indy got furious with me because I said he channeled his Carson Wentz. Like, just throw a ball up there and hope somebody gets it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great by the receiver, but as a 15-year vet, you can't let bad turn into worse. He has had too many of those plays. He's fumbled it around. It's just ugly. He leads the league or tied with interceptions and fumbles, man. It can't. So they're hoping Ellinger provides a dual threat is what I truly believe, to open up Jonathan Taylor in the run game and that he can be some kind of hot hand that Bart's looking for.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's everybody's looking for that dual threat guy now.
Yeah.
It seems to be where the league is going.
Well, what does that mean for Frank Wright? Because not one, not two, this is third quarterback.
Yep.
And if they can't get this right, does the responsibility fall at the feet of Frank Wright? Now, I know he stood on the table for Carson Wentz,
right,
and it cost him a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
I don't know if he stood on the table for Matt Ryan, But at the end of the day, who's going to take responsibility and who's going to have to fall on the sword for the ineptitude of the Indianapolis Colts, who seemingly, outside of quarterback, has been on the doorstep from a personnel standpoint to be able to at least compete for an AFC title?
Yeah, no, listen, and you know how this thing works, man. And this is when I knew something was amiss, when they promoted Ellinger over Foles 2 weeks ago. And it was like, it kind of went, nobody really picked the story up.
I
saw it and I was like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you? So they have something going on, some kind of plan in the future of if he doesn't get it done, some movement is going to be made. But to your point about who takes the fall, usually situation like that, it's a clean sweep. And so I'm just hard-pressed to believe that the Irsay does these contracts with Ballard and Frank, which I think are a year old maybe, where he re-upped them both and said they're tied together and let's go win. So I don't know how this thing plays out. Hopefully they win games because, I'm a Colt fan. I hope they win a bunch of freaking games and we ain't got to worry about it, but right now it ain't looking good.
Hope's a tough place to be in. Hope and wish, you don't want to hear that. And speaking
Howard Mudge, you say live in hope, die in bitch. You know what I mean? So speaking about
hoping and wishing, who would you rather be, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Green Bay Packers? Because I know they might have 9 lives, but about 5 of them are gone for both teams, and I don't know who has the brighter future.
I'm saying the Bucs because of the division. And that's the only reason I'm saying. But man, you're in first place, below 500, and you've already beat the competing team, head to head. So if you're
just lost on an expansion team, though.
Oh yeah, bro. They traded everybody. No coach. no running back. No receiver. And they just run through you for a $180, and PJ Walker looks like an all-star. But it's. I would say that I have more faith that Bowles' defense in this division can carry them to the playoffs, and that Brady and this offense can somehow find a way. I was not concerned with Green Bay at all, and really until this past week. Like LaFleur and Rodgers are not making any adjustments. Like they keep doing the same stuff, the same third and short, fourth and short, this is what we're going to do. And it ain't working, bro. They don't have the receivers to do this. And if that was the area that you were focused on of maybe not be able to cut the mustard, why wouldn't you feed the dudes behind you? Like, I don't get the style of play, and I think that's contributing to these losses.
It's going to be interesting to see if either one, make the playoffs. That's going to be a very interesting question.
Green Bay makes moves. Because it seems like
what kind of message you're going to send?
Aaron Rodgers said, "Hey, we're going to get exposed."
Aaron Rodgers and LeBron James both sending messages GMs to their franchises.
Right.
Make some moves, Jeff. This is you christened.
I love it.
The studio now. The third seat is here. I love it. Trio Grand. Good to see you. Thanks so much.
The three amigos.
All right, we have. Appreciate you,
Bart and Han.
Barton Hunt, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got lots of calls to get to, Bart Scott. Let's get to them. Let's go to Curtis in North Carolina. What's up, Curtis?
What's going on, fellas?
How we doing?
Kuda Matados.
So, there's a lot of bad football being played. Mm-hmm. Like, jeez, it's really, really bad. Like, we guys just need to go away. Belichick needs to go away. Tom Brady needs to go away. I know he's trying to use football as a distraction. Understandable. Aaron Rodgers needs to go away.
Yeah, he needs to go.
Matt Ryan's going away. Everybody to go away so we can make room for better football. Like, you can't even have a real top 10. Like, you have to put, like, 3 teams in your top 10 in the league right now that are under 500. And everybody that has a team or is a fan of a team in the NFC South, they need a refund. Like, somebody start them a GoFundMe. Why are they buying tickets to go see these games?
We get this every once in a while. This happens, right? We got this when we're ushering out Dan Marino, John Elway, and we're bringing in, like, Philip Rivers, we're bringing in Ben Roethlisberger, we're bringing in, Dante Culpepper was kind of in between that. I think we're at that point, like, where we're going to lose. We lost Ben Roethlisberger last year. We lost Eli Manning the year before that. We got to get, the Matt Ryans out of here. And now a lot of these guys are playing so much longer that we don't get the natural influx of, like, young exuberance and energy.
That's the thing. Yeah, there is.
Tannehill may be out of here, right, as we look at Malik Willis is probably going to take over after a while.
We've had sort of like this transition period of the next generation of quarterbacks while the previous generation of quarterbacks, they were still – The great, the, you know, the best of the best still remained. And, you know, that's now where you're starting to say, there was, you know, oh, Rodgers can still sling it. Brady's still the best.
He won MVP last year.
You know what I mean? Like, you just have, like, they're still really good.
Happens overnight, though.
But it is how fast that can happen. And I think this is the best era of quarterback play. Yeah.
We saw Peyton Manning go down.
No, too. I know. But you know what I mean? Like, well, and here's the reason why I say is because there's some great young, and then there's still some great of the older guys that were still playing great. But is this year the correction now?
Yeah, it's the correction, because the problem is we got a lot of young guys that haven't become into their greatness yet. Right? So, like, we look at the Justin Fields, we look at the Mac Jones, we look at potentially, you know, Kenny Pickett, we look at, you know, Zach Wilson. It's so many young guys that really haven't had a chance. Trevor Lawrence. You know what I mean? We still haven't had a chance to see if they're legit yet. So we don't have the depth that we've had of just good starting quarterbacks.
Well, I mean, the teams are always looking for them. We know that. But, you know, the older guys right now, Matt Ryan looks like the one that is the closest to the door. We're back in 10 seconds.
Bart and Han.
My president is whack.
Bart and Han, Alan Hall, Bart Scott. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We've got lots of calls to get to, so let's get some news from Bart and Han Nation. Mike in New York, hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call in line. What's up, Mike? Mikey?
Hello?
What's up?
You got to turn your radio down, TV down.
Come
in the
on,
back,
man.
Brody.
Dry meshes, wet meshes, even area rugs.
Sorry, Mike.
What was Mike at?
I don't know what he's doing. All right. Lou's in Jersey, though. How you doing, Lou?
Hey, how's it going, Bart and Han? It's been a while, guys. Let's go Jets and let's go Knicks.
Let's do it.
I almost said let's go Mets. But, hey, you know, I really, the Jets, man, this Elijah Barrett-Tucker thing, it's really depressing.
Sucks.
Same thing with the Breece Hall thing. Mm-hmm. But if we look at what the Jets have been able to do, it's been very rewarding to fans. And I think that the fan base is just looking for a convincing win on Sunday versus the Patriots, and you know, that we could turn the page and we could say, hey, we won two division games against two huge division rivals this year. No matter what state they are in, no matter what state we are in, we got those wins. And the Jets weren't able to say that. And we have the key to the Jets. It's not the offensive line. It's not the offense. It's that pass rush. When Bart was doing big things for the Jets, when, you know, the Jets were making the playoffs in the early 2000s and breaking our hearts versus the Steelers, you know, it was all because of pass rush. And if Quinn and company could just keep getting pressure towards the quarterback, you know, and we have this secondary, this young secondary that kind of reminds you of that Revis era of Jets
Marty,
defense,
yep.
You know, I think everything's going to work out well for this team. And not to make this too long, but, like, you know, as depressing as the baseball season ended for New York sports, when you look at the Jets and when you watch the Knicks and you watch some of these teams, the Islanders, the Rangers, you're looking at the New York fan culture kind of changing, hopefully.
Man, you hope
so. We're hoping that it's changing.
Lou, from your lips to God's ears, right? Because it's been such a long time. Now, you know, the baseball team's had a sad ending in New York, right? It had a disappointing ending, but they still were really good seasons.
Rebirth,
and
though,
if relevant. You're a fan, you enjoyed the majority of it. It just didn't end the way you wanted it to. And, you know, the football teams have gotten off to a great start. And you want to see it continue. You want to feel like, okay, this is leading towards, building towards something, and the Jets continue to do it. You know, the Jets, they lose Breece Hall. Within a day after realizing that he's done for the season, a dynamic running back that they had, the rookie, they went out and made a trade for James Robinson.
James Robinson is.
I believe he was the offensive rookie of the year a couple of years ago, was he not?
Hey, he a beast too. Illinois State. Like, so he hungry. D1 double slappy.
And it only costs a six. Now, it could be a fifth if, you know, he gets some numbers, but still.
Nothing. This dude is a load. Like, he's your big back. I know he's only 5'9", but he's 220.
Mm-hmm.
So he coming down like Chris Ivory. Like, he like that.
I remember that name.
Like, he coming down like that. Like, stand on the train track if you want to, boy. I got something for you.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's a move.
He's only 25 years old, so he's going to be here.
That sends a message, right? That's a move that sends a message that, okay, we might have lost something, but we're not giving up on the season.
Everybody's losing something, and the Jets keep getting good players, not great players. And
like, you lose Becton, you go out and you sign
Brown.
Right. So you make sure that you're telling your team.
And Fantner come back. and he'll try and replace Vera Tucker at right tackle.
Yeah.
And Max Mitchell will come back and he'll try. And you don't replace him, but this is the thing. When you got a lot of good players, you can withstand because of battle of attrition. Now, if somebody else loses somebody, what's going to happen when they lose their player?
Yeah, big impact kind of thing. So good moves there from the Jets, and we'll see how that impacts them. Let's continue to talk some football in just a few seconds. Stay with us.
Bart and Han.